my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design, communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised. It says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." My name is Emily, your host for today, and joining me, as always, is Naomi. How are you today, Naomi?
I'm really good, Emily. How are you?
Yes, going very good, and I'm excited for tonight. I understand we have a special guest.
We do have a very special guest. Tonight we have Dr. Rachel Coelho, and she is here with us, and she's also going to be speaking tonight at 82 Angus Street in the city. If you're in Adelaide tonight, that's near Calgary Hospital in the markets, and she's going to be speaking tonight and tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And
excellent.
It'll be amazing. So, and she's a lifestyle medicine consultant, and we're very, very privileged to have her with us to speak tonight.
Awesome. Yes. So if you're in Adelaide, you won't want to miss that. What was that address again?
It's 82 Angus Street in Adelaide. But if you're not in Adelaide, you're going to hear her in just a few minutes. So stay on the radio.
Yes, that's right. We don't want to waste any time. Now, before we go to Dr. Rachel, we want to let you know about our free giveaway that we have for all our Faith FM listeners. And this is the book Messiah. Now, I'm just going to give you the number that you want to text to and the code so you can get that ready. I'm going to tell you about this book in just a moment. So you want to text the number 04-888-808-11. That's 04-888-808-11. And the code that you want to text to that number is SA324. And again, that code is SA324, no spaces, just SA324. Now, this book, it's actually a really interesting and a beautiful book. More than 100 years ago, Ellen G. White penned the book The Desire of Ages, a classic volume of the life of Christ that has been a source of inspiration and enlightenment to millions of readers all over the world. And author Jerry D. Thomas, he makes this into a powerful story that is more accessible to today's readers, and that has given birth to the book Messiah, a contemporary adaptation of Mrs. White's great work. So Thomas's friendly style amplifies the beautiful message of this devotional classic, making the sublime themes of the original easier to grasp. The stories and teachings that thrilled the simple country folk of Galilee can touch our hearts as well. And like its predecessor, this book is sure to leave its mark on future generations because of one thing. It lifts up the man who kept the promise and changed the world. And so this book, it's all about Jesus, about the Messiah. And I know that I've read that original book, The Desire of Ages, and it's just so beautiful how it highlights Jesus' life and his death and, you know, the power in his word. And as the scripture we know says that Jesus, his other name was Emmanuel, which is God with us. And so, yes, I'm sure that as you read this book, you will know and learn more about who God is through Jesus. And again, if you want to get that book, Messiah, you want to text to the number 04-888-808-11. So that's 04-888-808-11. And that code is SA324. So you want to text to 04-888-808-11, the code SA324. And I'm sure that our little chat will get back to you to confirm your address, and we'll get that book to you as soon as possible. Now, we want to get straight into our incredible interview. So stay after our break and listen to Dr. Rachel Coelho as she tells us about an exciting topic.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. Now, Naomi, we have a very special guest today, don't we?
We do. We have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Dr. Rachel Coelho, and she's a GP, and she's what's known as a lifestyle medicine consultant because she's involved in medicine and also as a nutritionist, a herbalist, and lifestyle intervention. Welcome, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. Now, you're involved in many, many aspects of health, and you have many patients that you are really transforming their lives because of the type of medicine that you're practicing, which, as I've mentioned, is lifestyle medicine. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe one of those aspects today?
Yeah, I thought we'd actually address cancer. It's one of the scariest diagnoses. There is so much that we can do to prevent it, and also there's a lot that we can do to help even treat it as well. Just some of the natural things that we can do there.
That's wonderful. Now, well, what sort of disease is cancer?
Yeah, well, cancer is actually a disease of the cells in our bodies. It's where abnormal cells will grow in a very uncontrolled manner. Now, these cells are abnormal in size, its shape and function, and it can happen to virtually any cell in the body at all. And these growths will eventually invade and damage the surrounding structures and even spread to other regions in the body. So contrary to what most people think, though, this is usually actually a very, very slow process, and it can take several years or even decades to develop into a cancer. So occasionally, though, it is a more rapid process, but that's pretty rare. And the other thing that's really important about cancer is that it usually happens in phases or steps as well.
Right. What is the difference between a benign and a malignant tumour?
Yeah, both those terms are very frequently used, and it is really good to differentiate between the two. So in benign tumours, look, there are very abnormal cells there, but not as abnormal as it would be in malignant tumours. They still resemble the original tissue that they come out of. They are generally very, very, very slow to grow. And if you look at these tumours, they will tend to have a very smooth wall or even a capsule that will contain them. They aren't invasive and they don't spread to distant sites in the body. So when we're talking about benign tumours, we don't actually consider these cancers. However, the malignant tumours are the opposite. So they are made up of very, very abnormal cells. They don't look like the original tissue that they arise in. They're very erratic in how they grow. They're usually slow, but occasionally they do grow quickly. And it's hard to define a border on these. You can't really see where the outline begins and ends. They never have a capsule that contains them. And these are the ones that will invade the surrounding sites. And of course, they'll spread to other regions. So that's what we call metastasizing. Now, these malignant tumors are what we would call cancer. And that's what we're really addressing here. It is possible for those benign tumors to turn cancerous, but it is actually very uncommon.
Mm. And when we hear about stages, what are these stages of cancer?
Yeah, there's three stages that we talk about. In the very first stage, it's the initiation. And that's where you get those carcinogens or these things that you're exposed to, which are a variety of chemicals or types of radiation. They will mutate and transform those cells into cancer-prone cells. And then the damage that occurs in the DNA is what we call a permanent alteration of those genes. And then the cells divide, they pass on that damaged DNA to the daughter cells. Now, it's so small, though, at this stage, it's pretty much invisible. You wouldn't see this unless you're under a microscope. And this entire stage will happen in a very short time, even in minutes. Now, we would also consider this initiation stage completely irreversible, almost totally. There's some rare circumstances where that will change. If you look at this in terms of, say, a gardening example, you would say this is like planting the seed of cancer. Now, that's the first stage. The second stage is promotion. So we would say this is like when the seed germinates and starts to grow. And it's when those damaged cells grow, they multiply, they get larger and larger clusters, and they form a visible tumour here. But this is the really interesting part of cancer. Just like a seed, if that initial cancer-prone cell germinates and grows, it doesn't do this unless all its requirements are met. These requirements are what we call the promoting factors, thus it's called the promotion phase. And if those promoting factors are not present, then this cancer won't multiply or proliferate. Now, the other thing is, if the promoting factors are actually initially present but then disappear, that cancer will go into dormancy. until more of those promoting factors appear. Now, alternatively, you can also have anti-promoting factors, and they will slow or even inhibit the growth of these abnormal cells. And why is this important? It's because this means that this promotion phase is totally reversible. So in this phase of the cancer, there is so much that we can do, and most of the promoting and anti-promoting factors are found in our diet and lifestyle. So it's a fantastic part of the cancer that we can do something about.
Wow.
But there's a final phase, and that is progression. So this is when the cancer flourishes, it becomes advanced. By now, it started to get very aggressive, it invades, it damages the surrounding tissues. And pretty much we could say this is like an out-of-control plant or weed that's taken over the garden, spreads its seeds to other regions and takes over parts of your body into distant sites, etc. It's metastasized, and it is actually very difficult to treat cancers once they get to their stage. Not impossible, and certainly we can do some things about it, but really it's that middle stage, that promotion stage that we can really target.
Wow, that's incredible. So there is some hope within that. Can you tell us, Rachel, what are the risk factors for getting cancer?
Yeah, most of these are pretty obvious, but we'll run through a few of those. Age, obviously, as we get older, we can't do much about this, but certainly the chances for genetic mutations in our cells will increase the more cancers will be initiated, for example. But really, anything that causes chronic inflammation in our bodies. It both initiates a cancer, like a carcinogen would, but it also promotes its growth. So if you're thinking about that seed to plant understanding of cancer, really chronic inflammation is the great cancer gardener. Now, the other risk factors really are in our lifestyle. We're talking our diet, physical inactivity, being obese, which causes chronic low-grade inflammation, alcohol consumption, the use of tobacco, smoking, excessive sunlight exposure, even viruses. Some of the strains of the wart viruses, hepatitis, for example, all of these things can cause cancer in the long term. And finally, we have a whole host of chemical carcinogens. But I will want to say about this is that obviously we are going to be exposed to carcinogens in our lives every day. We can't really do a lot about that. We can remove as much as we can, such as the alcohol and smoking, but there's so many others. But there's some amazing hope here because really it's not just about the actual carcinogens. And that's because there was a study done by a gentleman by the name of T. Colin Campbell, who was a nutritional scientist. And there was something amazing that was happening in the Philippines a couple of decades ago. And there were these children who were developing liver cancer, a very rare form of liver cancer. They quickly identified that the carcinogen causing it was coming from a toxin found in the peanuts that they were eating. But there was something interesting that T. Colin Campbell found. It was only the wealthy children who were getting the cancers.
Is that right?
But the poor children who were eating the exact same peanuts with the exact same toxins were not developing these cancers. And so we had a look at their lifestyles overall to see what else was different. And the primary difference was their diet, other than the peanuts. And the wealthy children were eating a lot of animal protein in their diet, so a lot of chicken and dairy, for example. And so he then realized that even though they're all exposed to that carcinogen, the promoting factor for that cancer was actually the animal protein in their diet. Subsequently, there's been a fair bit of research on animal protein and the promotion of cancer.
So wow.
Even though we might be exposed, the triggers are there. Really, to get these things to grow, you need that promoting factor there. And if we can take that out, those cancers can be kept quiet.
That's incredible. And I love how you said that inflammation is the great cancer gardener. That's incredible. Now, I've heard that certain genes cause cancer. What's your thoughts on that, Dr. Rachel?
Look, genes are not static. We used to think that once you were born with your genes, that's the end of the story. It's a bit of Russian roulette. But we've discovered that you're able to actually turn genes on and off, depending primarily on your lifestyle choices. So just because you carry a certain gene that might put you at a greater risk of cancer or even chronic disease, it's not a death sentence. Your health choices will make a significant impact on how those genes are expressed. For the most part, it's not your genes that are responsible for the cancer. It's your choices and your lifestyle.
I've heard that saying about the gun, that the genes might be the gun, but the trigger is actually our lifestyle. Would you?
Absolutely. That's a really great way of putting it. Exactly. Yeah, it's the choices that we make that primarily affect it.
That's great. And then there's hope. What basic factors make you far more less susceptible to getting cancer?
Yeah, so we've sort of addressed one of those, but if you had to break it down, there's two essential things. And the first is that you have to have a very healthy immune system. No matter what type of cancer it is, if you've got lots of those natural killer cells and antibodies and all those killer T cells, etc., all of these things are tumour fighting factors in our immune system. So it's really important that we boost our immune system. And the second is actually about lowering the inflammation in our bodies. Now, they're not mutually exclusive. It's vital to reduce inflammation to have a healthy immune system. But they're the two factors, healthy immune system and lower inflammation in the body.
That's wonderful. That's, again, there's hope. Now, I understand you have some protocols to help prevent cancer and also to assist in the treatment of cancer. Could you share those with us today?
I'd love to, but I will say if you're treating cancer with mainstream medicine, then this is not actually a recommendation to replace your treatment. These protocols can be used alongside your current treatments. You can certainly use the principles I share to prevent cancer, manage cancer, and enhance your chances of survival. So I just put that disclaimer out there. I do practice both conventional and also lifestyle herbalism, those sorts of things. So I like to combine all of these to the best for the individual who's in front of me.
That's good. We love to hear that of where you stand, because some people might shy away from things that are more alternative if they're thinking they can't also keep on with their treatments. Because it's a scary time, isn't it?
Absolutely. And all of these things are available and they're perfectly safe to use natural things alongside mainstream medicine that I'm talking about.
Because you're doing that in your practice.
Absolutely.
Right. And what do you recommend a person start with if they had a diagnosis of cancer? Let's say someone who's listening now has just had a diagnosis. What would you say?
Yeah, I'm a Christian physician, first and foremost. So the first thing I would ask somebody if they're open to it is to always include God in the health journey. Now, that is obviously a Christian perspective, but it was actually evidence-based medicine as well. And so even within our human research world, scientists have shown that having an active spiritual life leads to improved immunity, it lowers the risk of developing cancer, and also you get better outcomes from your treatments of cancer as well. And so always put your life in God's hands if you're open to that.
Wow.
So to have an active spirituality, though, it means more than just acknowledging. We are wonderfully and fearfully made by God. So he is there to not only set our bodies in place, you know, we have all the workings here already, but he's also the greatest physician. So he's here to not just create, but also recreate us. And there's a couple of beautiful promises and verses that I'd like to share. And the first is Jeremiah 30, verse 17. It says, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." So it's a beautiful promise there from the Lord. And the other one that I think is very, very important if you get that diagnosis of cancer, and that comes from James 5, verses 14 to 15, it states this: "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." So again, it's just that beautiful promise that if you're walking into this journey, yes, it's very frightening, it's very scary, there'll be a lot of fear involved with that. But if you put your life and your health in God's hands, you know that he's going before you, he's going beside you, he's going behind you, he's got you covered, he's got your back through this whole process. So you can have complete and utter trust and faith that he's going to step in to this journey with you.
That's beautiful. And I would imagine it would help us then be less stressed and to have more of a comfort.
Absolutely.
And positivity.
Absolutely.
What would be the next important thing to address?
Yeah, it's the mindset. Now, we sort of already started that by addressing our mindset through the spirituality side. But there's a little more to this. And, you know, we really do need to manage the, you know, chronic stress and stress in our lives. All of these things can have a bad effect on the cancer as well. So just some really simple things that I share with my patients. And look, you could do a whole talk on this, but some principles here is obviously take time out. You know, we need to recover from the stresses in life. We need to think positive, develop an attitude of gratitude, and that will help to build that resilience that we need through these stressful situations. And it's important to share your load with those who you can trust. You know, you need to get someone else to help you to bear these burdens so you don't go through this alone. Always foster a spirit of forgiveness. That's always important. Mm. And of course, we have all the lifestyle measures, healthy diet, getting enough exercise, good sleep, all those sorts of things. And also, we need to stay connected. We need good, strong connections, community, you know, social aspects of our life.
Beautiful.
You know, we aren't made to be alone. So there's some really important things there that we can do to help manage our mindset.
Very important. And rest, of course, is so important.
So I think it's time to come to some music. We're going to listen to the beautiful song, which is actually a scripture song, "Whenever I Am Afraid" by Trilogy Scripture Songs. Please enjoy this.
will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Trust in you.
In God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Trust in you.
Trust in you.
Trust in you.
Trust in you. Trust in you.
And that was Whenever I Am Afraid by Trilogy Scripture Song. And I think that was just so beautiful and applicable to what we've been talking about. If you have got cancer, there's so much hope in knowing that God is with you and that he can bring you through this.
Absolutely. Yeah, he is the great physician. We are just tools.
Yeah, absolutely, Dr. Rachel. It's beautiful because there could be people right now who are listening, who perhaps they've got a diagnosis or maybe one of their family members have. And so we just love the fact that God is with us and that you've talked to us now about spirituality and our mindset. But what other aspects, such as perhaps our diet, can we address to prevent and manage our cancer?
Yeah, so I might actually start with what to avoid first, even though that's often we go, what can we take? Well, let's have a look at some of the things we need to avoid. And really, it's about those foods and things that can cause inflammation in our body. We want to get these things out of our system if possible. So really, we're talking here about processed and red meats. We're talking about saturated fats that come from animal products. They're highly inflammatory. And also processed sugars and any of those highly processed foods. So we're talking all those white flours, white rice and pastas, all those sort of flaked puff cereals, soft drinks, all of these very highly processed and refined foods. These are the ones that are particularly inflammatory. They really do depress our immune system. And so it's really important to address those aspects. There's so much of our diet that is falling into this category, and a large portion of it is sitting in these processed foods with lots of saturated fats. Really dangerous there. And just remember also earlier from the talk, I was talking about animal proteins, which obviously we're seeing in all these meats and, you know, lots of saturated fats there as well. So yeah, so it's really important to remove those. And I'm also thinking about all the additives in our diets.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at those packets that you read and there's a lot of numbers on it,
mm-hmm.
time to avoid those. But specifically, I would suggest that MSG and all its related compounds, all of your artificial flavors, colors, and preservatives, artificial sweeteners, and even the hydrolyzed vegetable proteins, which are found in a lot of those fake meats. We really need to avoid these. They are very pro-inflammatory. So that's some of the things that we can avoid in our diets.
You mean like the plant-based fake meats is what
yes,
you're talking about?
Yes,
oh,
yes. They're not always the best things to have.
Right.
Yeah.
So I suppose the opposite sort of food would be the one that is anti-inflammatory and help us in the battle against cancer. Would that be right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not rocket science at all. And all of the anti-inflammatory foods are essentially in that whole food plant-based diet. So whole food meaning unprocessed. So these are foods that you don't have to process a great deal. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't grind our flour down and make beautiful bread out of it, but make sure it's wholemeal, whole grain bread. And I'm not suggesting that you can't cook your root vegetables. Good, thoroughly cooked vegetables are good for you. But what we're talking about is just the least processed foods, and they come from your plants. So all your fruits, your vegetables, your nuts, your seeds, your grains, your legumes, all of these foods are absolutely amazing. Lots of anti-inflammatory nutrients, lots of those beautiful phytonutrients, we call them, antioxidants, fiber. All of these things have been shown to reduce your risk of cancer and obviously are an anti-inflammatory. So there's some very strong links between these diets and preventing cancer and also managing it as well.
Well, that's fantastic. Are there any particular foods, Dr. Rachel, that's in this whole food plant-based diet that stand out in preventing and treating cancer?
Yeah, there is actually. There's three groups that if you really wanted to target cancer here, and you have to remember the saying, your greens, your beans and your berries.
Oh, I like that. So your greens, your beans,
and your berries.
And your berries,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. So looking at the greens, so we're talking about green vegetables here. So your broccoli, cabbage, kale, all those things are highly anti-inflammatory and they actually help to protect that DNA from damage. So they work at that initiation phase of the cancer. And then you've got your legumes, your beans, in particular things like chickpeas, soybeans and lupini beans. They're the best. And they have a whole host of anti-inflammatory compounds, but they also contain anti-metastatic compounds that stop the cancer from spreading. Now, the anti-cancer potential is actually increased by cooking, so I'm never suggesting that you eat any beans in an uncooked state. It's actually far better to eat them cooked. So they will work on that final stage of preventing that cancer from spreading. But then you have the berries. Now, the berries of all the fruits top the list in anti-inflammatory, antioxidant benefits. They also have anti-proliferative effects on the cancer, and they can significantly slow the growth of cancer down and make them fantastic anti-promoters of cancer. So essentially, you've got those greens, beans, and berries acting on those three stages of cancer, those three phases. So that's your big ones for helping to prevent and also manage cancer, your greens, your beans, and your berries.
That's wonderful. Again, great hope there. And I love how you said that the chickpeas, the soybeans, and what was the third one?
The lupini beans.
How do we spell lupini?
L-U-P-I-N-I.
All right, because I've not heard of that one. That's wonderful. Now, in your protocols, what would be an effective way to, say, get a large dose of, say, fruits and vegetables each day? Is there something you could share with the listeners of how they can do that?
Yeah, one of the things that I really like to do, particularly with my cancer patients when they're open to it, of course, is to get them onto fruit or vegetable or plant-based smoothies.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not talking here about an extraction, juice extraction, because when you do a juice extraction, you often lose up to about 30% of those nutrients because it's attached to some of the fiber that gets extracted out. So here we're using the whole fruit and vegetable, and essentially you're making a blend with it. So you blend the vegetables and fruit in with some, and obviously make sure they're thoroughly washed, putting them in some filtered water and blending them up. Now, for a list of vegetables, generally speaking, I would suggest some of them, such as broccoli, cauliflower and kale, Brussels sprouts, purple cabbage, celery, parsley, beetroot, tomatoes and carrots. So those are vegetables that you can use. You don't have to use all of them at once. You can just pick some of your favourites and even mix them up. Each day you might want to choose a few different vegetables. Now, the fruits are pretty much all of your berries. So we're talking your blackberries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, cranberries, and also the citrus. So things such as your oranges, grapefruit and lemon, and even kiwi fruit and green apples. So you can mix those ones in. And like I said, just pick a few from each category and make a beautiful juice. You can also put in some of your favourite powders, such as your barley greens, just to give a bit more of an antioxidant potential. So you just blend that all up with some filtered water and then you can drink that. Now, if you want to make a meal out of it, you can add in a few nuts and seeds if you like.
So you blend them?
You can put that in with it as well. And normally we'd aim to get, if you're actually treating cancer, at least half a litre of that a day. Obviously, if you're just doing it for a little bit of a kickstart in your own health, you might not be battling cancer, but you might have come through a battle with cancer, or you might want to prevent it. A couple of times a week, this will just give you a really big antioxidant boost.
That's wonderful. And would that be a meal replacement, or is it between meals? When would you have this smoothie?
Yeah, look, in terms of if it's a meal replacement, you'd probably have to throw in those nuts and seeds to give it more of a meal effect. You can have it any time of the day.
Yes.
And because it's sort of half a litre, you can pop that in any time of the day. There's no set certain time. You can certainly have it before you have your breakfast, or maybe you can have it as dinner, whatever you like. Yeah.
That's wonderful. In terms of, you said the blend and the juice extractor, could you just explain what that means for people?
Yeah. So most people, when they think of juice, they're putting, you know, carrots and apples and et cetera in a juicer, and it just extracts the juice and you're left behind all the fibre.
Mm.
And that's why I said about 30% of those nutrients are lost when you do that. So they're actually bound to that fibre, or they become, you know, extracted themselves into that fibre portion. Mm. So you're losing that nutrient benefit there. Doesn't mean you won't get plenty anyway in the juice. So if you still prefer to do that, that's okay.
Mm.
But you will get a much bigger dose if you do it as a smoothie, where you're actually putting them all in with some water and just blending it all up. It's actually a lot easier too to do it that way, less cleaning to actually make a smoothie. You can throw it into one of those bullets and just whiz it all up, and there you have it.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Rachel. Now, we hear a lot about hydration. So is drinking water helpful in treating and preventing cancer?
Absolutely. Water is always helpful no matter for what problem. But we actually do know that just having adequate water intake does reduce even the risk of bladder cancer and also bowel and breast cancer. We've got good studies to show that. And look, it makes sense. It helps to detoxify your body. It reduces inflammation with having plenty of fluids. And it's pretty easy to work out. We only need about 2 to 2.5 litres a day. If you're a smaller person, just use the recipe of 30 mils per kilogram of body weight. Mm-hmm. So obviously, and then obviously for a larger person, you don't want to overdo it. So no more than about 2.5. If you're a very big person, maybe 3 litres maximum. But yeah, mm-hmm. about 2 to 2.5 litres a day. That's all you need to keep yourself detoxified.
Wonderful. And are there any other aspects that you'd like us to know of the diet that perhaps you can address now for people that are listening?
One thing that we do need to look at when we're thinking about food is how we actually prepare our food. There are certain cooking methods that are pro-inflammatory. They increase inflammation in our body. Now, these are what we call the dry, high heat methods. That's grilling, roasting, baking, barbecuing, for example. And what happens here, these methods are causing an acceleration in the formation of what we call advanced glycation end products. It's a big word, but essentially these are quite toxic things. And they can go up 100-fold when we're using these methods of cooking. And they cause a lot of oxidative stress and inflammation. Now, we want to avoid these methods as much as possible, but foods that are particularly susceptible are not, generally speaking, the plant foods. It's actually the animal products that are very susceptible to these changes. So we're talking here all of your meats, your cheeses, eggs, butters, creams, margarines and oils as well. So they're the ones that are particularly harmful to use those methods. So it's okay to have, you know, some roast veggies there every now and then or, you know, those sorts of things, baking some nice plant foods. But if you've got any animal products, you really, really want to avoid using those methods of dry, high heat. Now, just because you use oil doesn't mean it's not dry. We're talking water is causing the wetness and oil is a dry heat. So frying, baking, barbecuing, they're the methods that cause that acceleration of those AGE compounds. So alternatively to that, obviously anti-inflammatory cooking methods, we're talking eating obviously salads, fruit salads, things in their raw form, but also moist heat. So if you think about temperature, when you're frying something, we're going well over 200 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. But when you're boiling something, the temperature is not going to go above 100 degrees Celsius. Oh. It's a moist heat. It's a lower temperature. So you're not going to get that acceleration of those AGE compounds. So always, as much as possible, either have your vegetables and fruits in their raw or uncooked form. In a salad, for example, or when you're cooking, use those moist heats. So we're talking boiling, steaming, poaching, soups and stews. They're really good examples.
Wonderful. So we will have to look at not only what we're eating, but how we're cooking it.
How we're preparing it, absolutely.
Wonderful. Now, we've all heard a lot about smoking and alcohol. And could you share some information with us on how it affects our cancer risk?
Yeah, it's always good to be reminded. There are dozens of carcinogens, co-carcinogens that work with those carcinogens. We've got tumour promoters, tumour accelerators in many of the chemicals found in cigarettes. So cigarettes cause the formation, they initiate it, and also the growth of multiple cancers and the spread. So it pretty much accelerates all stages of cancer development. When it comes to alcohol, there is actually no safe level with regard to cancer risk. There isn't. It's quite a complex role in both initiating and promoting that growth of cancer. Now, it's an initiating carcinogen in its own right, but it will also continue to promote that cancer growth. So again, it's working on both those phases. And any amount of alcohol increases your cancer risk. And obviously, the more you drink, the greater that risk. And what we do know is it has been implicated in cancers of the pancreas, of the prostate, the mouth, the throat, the esophagus, the liver, obviously the bowel, breast and melanoma. So across the board, it's not just cigarettes, but it's also alcohol that is actually a triggering cancer as well.
So it's triggering, and if we've got cancer,
it's promoting it as well.
Wow. So a big, just to get it out of our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Both those things are really good. I mean, for lots of different reasons, but if we're talking particularly about cancer, even more so as well.
Yeah. Wonderful. So what would be next? We've covered some fantastic tips for everybody listening. It's just been a joy to hear all of this, this hope that people have got. What would be next, Dr. Rachel, your protocol?
Exercise. We need to start moving. Yes. And why is that? Well, we know that exercise will reduce your risk of getting bowel cancer by at least 30%, breast cancer by 25%, but also reduces the risk of a whole host of other cancers. We're talking bladder, endometrial, esophageal, kidney and stomach cancer. All of these things are reduced. Even if we do nothing else in our lifestyle, they're reduced by that much alone. So imagine if we added in all those other things, what that benefit would be. And why do we know that it reduces this? Well, because exercise reduces inflammation in our body. It enhances the immune system function. Both those things, remember, were the two factors that are most primary in terms of our talk on cancer. It also helps to prevent high levels of blood insulin, which has also been indicated as a promoting factor for cancer. It also changes how we metabolize the bile acids and reduces the time it takes for food to travel through the bowel, which decreases your exposure of the gut to suspected carcinogens. So there's just some of the benefits of exercise and why it works so well when we're talking about cancer. Now, the other thing is, lots of people say, well, what about if you've got cancer? Do we really need to exercise? Well, what we know is if we do exercise, at least, you know, we don't have to talk about a big exercise program, but getting some gentle exercise while you have cancer will improve the symptoms and the quality of life through the treatments. And it also enhance your chances of survival. So not just prevention, but also during your journey, it is important. And how much do you need? It is literally just half an hour a day.
Really?
That's all you need to get those benefits. So it's not huge. 3 hours a week, which is half an hour a day. You can have one day off. Beautiful. That easy. Just a brisk walk, something simple, nothing complex.
That's fantastic.
All you need.
Wow. That's so amazing, all those benefits just from a walk half an hour a day. Now, you talked about rest before with the mindset. How important is sleep? Does it play a role?
Yes. So disruptions in our body clock, which controls our sleep patterns, does increase the risk of the cancer of a lot of different organs. We're talking colon, we're talking liver, lung, pancreas, breast, and a few others. But this is particularly the case with people who are shift workers and are struggling to set that body clock rhythm. But also, and this one's really important for all of us, prolonged exposure to artificial light in the evening. That also can disrupt those body clocks. And how many of us are sitting down to watch something or to get on our devices, all those sorts of things. The light coming from that disrupts our body clocks. So we do need to address that. Broken sleep patterns will trigger inflammation and promote tumor growth and formation. So what we really need to aim for is getting those artificial light sources out of our bedrooms and out of our evening, sort of at least an hour and a half before bedtime. And we want to aim to get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night. Now, the hours before midnight are actually much more restorative for our health.
Wow.
And do you remember I said it's hard to fix DNA once it's changed from a carcinogen?
Mm-hmm.
When we're in those restorative stages of sleep, DNA can be repaired.
No.
Yeah. So there's a greater production also of special anti-cancer chemicals in our body. So it's restorative, deep sleep, particularly in those hours before midnight, can do wonders for us.
That's amazing. So simply sleeping, everyone, and also walking, two really easy things we can do. And it has such a great benefit. It's almost like somebody made us and had a plan, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Someone's watching over us. What about sunlight? Tell us about that.
Yeah, even sunlight. It has immune-enhancing benefits, particularly when it comes to vitamin D that's produced when we are exposed to sunlight. And that certainly does reduce the risk of a whole host of different cancers. So we're talking bowel, we're talking breast, prostate, lung, for example. Now, interestingly, supplements of vitamin D don't seem to provide those benefits. We do need to get that sunlight naturally to see those benefits in terms of reducing our cancer risk. Now, in terms of how much we need, all of us have different skin colour, different skin tones, so we're all going to need a different amount. I'm very fair-skinned, so I would literally need 5 minutes in the sun every day and I'm done.
Mm.
But obviously someone who's dark-skinned are going to need a lot more. So there's a really good way of calculating that. And normally I would tell people it's a quarter of the amount of time in the sun that it would take for you to get sunburned.
Mm.
So if you know you're someone who's going to, you know, get red and start peeling after half an hour, then don't get more than, you know, 7 or 8 minutes in the sun every day. If you're someone who's much darker skin and it takes a good couple of hours to start to feel the sun, then you might need a good half an hour of sunlight each day with your face, your arms and your legs exposed to get adequate vitamin D. And the best time to do it, of course, is through the spring and autumn. And during the summer months, you just have to be careful with the middle of the day hours so you don't get excessive sun exposure.
Mm. Wonderful. Now, we mentioned earlier, listeners, that Dr. Rachel is also a herbalist. So, Dr. Rachel, do you have any recommendation for herbs that can be used to help not just treat cancer but perhaps prevent it?
Yeah, so I love herbs. I primarily use it for treatment, but some of these herbs actually are preventative. So, for instance, garlic. Mm-hmm. Now, garlic itself, we use that a lot in cooking, but I'll talk about how you use this medicinally instead. But anyway, garlic will reduce inflammation, and we know that it boosts the immune system. And we also know that if you have a diet that's rich in garlic, you reduce your risk of getting cancer. So it is a good preventative one, but it's also a good one to use when you actually have cancer. We know it suppresses cancer cell growth, and it's even been shown to boost the anti-cancer gene expression.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's
even
amazing.
It works at the genes. Now, I will say, this is a little bit of a difficult one to talk about. If you are cutting, crushing, or using your garlic in cooking, you will quite rapidly lose a lot of those medicinal properties. Great for taste, so continue to do that, and you will still get some benefits. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, you're actually going to lose those medicinal compounds quite quickly.
Right.
So I will say the best way to get your garlic is to get it dried but at a low temperature. So you make sure that the garlic that you're using medicinally is a dried, powdered form, as long as it's been dried below 60 degrees Celsius. Obviously, if you're a bit more into social isolation, you can eat the actual garlic cloves whole if you prefer that way, but it does make it a bit more difficult socially. So yeah, but a low freeze-dried or below 65 degrees Celsius dried garlic, and you want to get about 2 to 4 grams of that each day to get those benefits.
That's wonderful.
But yes, you can certainly use it in your cooking. Go for it. Like I said, even a diet that's rich in garlic will help to prevent cancer. Mm. But to use it medicinally, you need to get that dried garlic at lower temperatures.
That's great. Yeah. I've heard that if you get a little bit of salt and you brush around the gums and the palate, that can help get, not obviously not scratching your teeth, but that can get rid of the garlic taste for those who out there really do want to use this as a treatment for cancer.
Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, the tricks about using different herbs and that to get rid of the smell for others, it doesn't work. I remember having a garlic salad with loads and loads of parsley. My family couldn't come near me for about 3 days. So be very careful if you want to use those as a whole garlic. But look, if you're battling cancer, I guess the least thing you want to worry about is whether or not somebody socially doesn't like you because you've got bad breath.
Correct. Good.
Now, the next herb that I really love is astragalus. Mm. Now, this is a deep immune stimulator. Remember, the immune system is really important in cancer. Well, this is one that actually stimulates the immune system at a deeper level. And look, there's been various cancer models and studies. It's been shown to even stabilize and shrink tumors. So it's got an anti-proliferation or anti-promoting factor to it. It promotes tumor killing, the tumor killing function, and some of those immune system cells, for those who are a bit more aware, things such as macrophages and T cells. And we do know that it can improve cancer survival time. So it has been used in various parts of the world alongside mainstream medicine to improve cancer survival. So it's a wonderful one to have through treatment. I don't generally use this as a preventer, but certainly through treatment and for those who come out the other side of cancer to stay on their astragalus. And normally you use the root here at a dose of about 2 to 6 grams each day.
And that spelling on that word?
Yeah, astragalus, A-S-T-R-A-G-A-L-U-S.
Great.
And so the third one I'll just talk about briefly is ginseng, and that's both the Siberian and the Panax ginseng. Mm. Very similar from different parts of the world, but their properties are very similar. And they contain active compounds that can also restrict cancer cell growth and proliferation, but also invasion and migration. So they do promote the death of cancer cells. So it's a really nice one to add in as well. And that dose is just simply 3 grams of the dried root daily of either Siberian or Panax ginseng. And the final one that I would mention is St. Mary's thistle. Now, there has been some direct anti-cancer effects found with this particular herb. Not as good evidence as the other ones, but still doesn't hurt to try this one. It's also great at protecting the liver. Mm-hmm. And the dose there is 1 to 4 grams of the dried seed daily.
That's fantastic, Dr. Rachel. So we've covered lots of wonderful natural ways to help prevent and assist in cancer treatment. Could you perhaps summarise this for us, for those that have perhaps just joined us or those that have been listening and want to sort of get a summary of what you've been saying?
Sure. We've covered a lot of information. So I guess I'll put this into a little mini prescription for anyone out there who's listening and may have had this diagnosis. First of all, put your life and health in God's hands, either in your efforts to either prevent, obviously, or manage this disease if you've received that diagnosis. Always make sure you manage the stress and anxiety in your life. Make sure that mindset's in the right place. Choose to eat that whole food, plant-based diet, paying particular attention to your greens, your beans, and your berries. You might like to add a few plant smoothies in as often as you can. Make sure you drink plenty of that detoxifying water. Use anti-inflammatory cooking methods, those moist, low heat, so you're boiling, stewing, steaming, poaching, those sorts of things. Avoid smoking, alcohol. Always include exercise, half an hour a day of something such as a simple walk. Get adequate restorative sleep, at least 7 to 8 hours each night. Get a good daily dose of appropriate sunlight. Of course, don't forget your herbs. You know, a bit of garlic, maybe some astragalus and some ginseng.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I know there'll be many people listening now who will be blessed by this wonderful information you've given us. And I know you and your husband, Rui, you travel around Australia speaking at different places. If people want to know how to get in contact with you or know what those dates would be, where would you suggest they look?
Yeah, so my husband has a Facebook page and you can literally just become a follower and he'll always post up there any speaking engagements either myself or he has or we have together. So if you just go to Facebook and type in Rui Coelho, R-U-I, same last name, C-O-E-L-H-O, and just follow him. And so then you'll be always up to date in terms of when we have speaking engagements.
Wonderful. And you can't be a friend, I understand, because he's got so many already friends on Facebook. Is that right?
Yes, he does. And if you ever want to have any of my look in terms of my talks, I actually have health editorials up on my website,
which is
at drrachel.com.au. So drrachel.com.au. And then if you go into the little menu with the three little lines, horizontal lines, and press on health editorials, I've got lots of subjects there that I've covered with some very good lifestyle changes that you can make and some simple herbs and remedies that you can use for various conditions, including
wonderful.
The one on cancer.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rachel. It's been an absolute blessing, hasn't it, Emily?
Yes, I just want to thank you so much as well. It's been very informative, I know, and I want to try one of those smoothies, I think.
She loves smoothies and she's also studying nutrition, so this has been incredible.
Perfect.
So we just want to just thank you so much. It's such a privilege to have you here today, and I know there's many people that are listening now who have their family have either been affected by cancer or they know someone who has been affected or they themselves, you might have just had a diagnosis now in your family or yourself. So I'd really like to pray right now for you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share the wealth of knowledge that Dr. Rachel has dedicated her life to her patients, and to you, God, to spreading the message that the anti-inflammatory diet of the plant-based diet, which is what you intended in the Bible in Genesis 1:29, Lord, where you gave us the prescription of health. But Lord, we know sin has entered the world and there's many, many things that are going on in the world that are very, very difficult for us. But we know, Lord, that you will never leave us or forsake us and that you are with us. You don't choose these things for us, but you will be by our side and you'll go through it with us. So we pray for everybody out there that's perhaps going through this at the moment, Lord. We pray that someone will come into their lives to help them. We pray that they'll be able to use these tools that Dr. Rachel has so kindly shared. And we just, Lord, we pray for each and every one of those people. We ask, Lord, that you enter into their life so they will have praying people around them, Lord, because we know that you tell us in the Bible, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We thank you, Father, and we commit all this to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is
is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
And that was Change My Heart, Oh God by Eddie Espinoso. And I just love that that song expresses God's power, His power to change our hearts. And if God can change my heart, just imagine what He can do. And I love this verse in Jeremiah 29:11-13, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you will call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hear you. And you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." And so God just wants us, He invites us to come to Him, to give Him our worries. And He is able to restore our, you know, mentally, but also to work in our body physically. And if we, you know, are maybe facing challenges in our health, He wants to be there with us. He has a plan for us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was just such a beautiful interview and just experiences that Dr. Rachel was able to share with us, wasn't it, Naomi?
It was fantastic. And I know there's many people out there who are experiencing cancer, and what a blessing it is, and that that she's able to share all that with us, and just to know that having a plant-based diet enhances our immune system and reduces inflammation, and so does exercise and sleep. And we just want to reach out to Suzanne. Thanks for your text. And yes, on Dr. Rachel's site that she just gave you, drrachel.com.au, it does have stuff on sleep, because Suzanne has asked to send that to one of her friends. So it is there. So yeah, it was absolutely wonderful to be able to what a blessing to hear all of Dr. Rachel's experience and research over the 20 plus years as a physician, as a doctor. And yeah, just incredible. If you'd like to know more, definitely go to her website there on drrachel.com.au. Remember to add the AU, otherwise you'll go to a different country and a different Rachel. We also have a wonderful book giveaway, as Emily mentioned at the top of the show, and it's a free book. It's called The Messiah, and to text is 0488 808 11. That's 0488 808 11, and it's on the life of Christ, and it's a modern writing of the older book, which is called Desire of Ages. This is in modern language, it's still about the life of Jesus Christ, and to draw close to Him. We do know that that helps us in our struggles and in our health issues. So it's a beautiful book to get, and the code is SA324. That's SA, South Australia, 324. So SA324, no gaps. And the number again is 0488 808 11. And yeah, we're just so very blessed tonight to have had Dr. Rachel Coelho on the program. And for those of you who are in Adelaide, she will be speaking tonight at 82 Angus Street in the city, which is near Calvary Hospital, and tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So tonight at 6 o'clock, which is very, very soon, and tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And we know that there's parking there for you. There will be parking attendants that will help you with parking there.
Excellent. And we also want to do a shout out to Gemma and Sam, who texted in for the book.
Yes.
I know you definitely enjoy that one.
Mm.
Yeah, beautiful. And, you know, listeners, it's coming to the opening of the Sabbath. This is our special Friday night program, Eden to Eternity. And now we just want to encourage you that this time, the Sabbath that the Bible talks about, that was at the end of the creation week, it's a time that God gives us to rest, to reflect on His goodness, you know, to spend time with our family. And it reminds us just of the power that he has. And as Dr. Rachel was talking about, I was just thinking, you know, God gave us all these things to, you know, exercise and whole plant-based food. These things God has given us to heal us. And he has, it's his word that is in it that heals us. And he wants to change us, to change our mindset of, you know, he's able to do more than
that's
we
right. And we've all gone
about.
So very far away from that, haven't we? And I love the fact that today is the Sabbath, going to the Sabbath house, Friday night to Sabbath, tomorrow sunset, and that Dr. Rachel says that the hours that we sleep, especially those before midnight, are restorative, anti-cancer, and help us to have that deep sleep of healing. And how beautiful God's given us a whole day of rest, because he wants us to be healed mentally, physically, and emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah, so beautiful. And so, listeners, we just pray for you that God will be with you, whatever situation that you are in now. We just thank you so much for joining us as well on Eden to Eternity. And from creation to restoration, this is Eden to Eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise that God gives us in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.